And the pshat he gives, and this is classic pshat, but certainly it's a pshat, is that Mekiris Makoma is to recognize that wherever you are, that's where you're supposed to be. Is this mokum that I'm in at the moment, this situation that I have, this matzif I have, this child I have, this panosa that I have, this is all exactly what a Kodesh Baruch Hu wants from you for now. Ah, you'll ask me, what about Ishtadlus to change it? What about Tfilah to change it? Bezrat Hashem will get there. We'll deal with what's called the Tfilah of a Boteach and the Ishtadlus of a Boteach. Obviously, those are questions that should be coming up. When you start grappling with Betochen, you should come to questions about Tfilah and Ishtadlus. If this is the most ideal situation for me, why would I do anything to change it? And yet you see, you have a chiyuv to daven, you have a chiyuv to make ishtadlus to change it. Why? It's perfect. Why are you davening for your neighbor to get well when he's sick, God forbid? It's the best thing that could be happening to him, and you're interfering? Good. So we have to deal with it. And it's a shame, we have two chapters coming up that deal with the tefillah of a boteach and the... I don't know where it is, it's here somewhere. Yeah, tefillah of a boteach and the ishtadlus of a boteach. So if you have any questions, hold them off, we'll get there. There are a few different approaches to this. He has one approach which is quite useful. We started off discussing yesterday, therefore, the mitzvah, the issue of Lo Sachmud. The sheresh of this is understanding that why would you want something that someone else has got? You have everything you need. Anything else you would get now wouldn't be good for you, it would be bad for you. Oh, getting rid of an issoy that you have now wouldn't be good for you. So let's try and go to the core and understand a little bit about what Lo Sachmud's about. Because I think we're all guilty of this at some point. It's very easy to test it. If Hashem would come to you and say, I'd like you to write down on a list three things you'd like to change, would anybody have a hard time filling up that list?
Yeah, three things.
Write down a list of three things you would like to change. Everybody would be able to write that list very quickly,
no,
right? So we all at some point, and I don't think it's a bad thing, we all at some point don't agree with the way Hashem's running the world. Because we all have something we would, correct? I don't need too many people. I mean, you've got to be holding, we turn and say, no. Kolbe said, I'm not going to change anything in my life. You get people that are more satisfied, less satisfied, but essentially you would always find one person, you'd always find something that you feel needs to be improved. So that at the heart of that is this the sort of Lo Sachmud. Hadibra Siris Vachreina Basora Dibrois, as we mentioned yesterday, the last of the 10 Dibrois is Lo Sachmud. Chashivas Vakadushin Yuchedes Noidas Lemispa Siri. We all know that 10 always has a certain kashivas, a certain kedusha. Ten is malchus. It's always the preservative of the other nine. Kefishneima v'asiri yekodesh. Nishalus haShaila. Lo haya aleinu libchor mibein trayag hamitzvos es esar hamitzvos habasisus b'yoisa. Out of the 613 mitzvos, you get to choose the 10 most fundamental mitzvos. Would you have thrown Lo Sachmud into the top 10? Try to take out the Sefer Mitzvahs and categorize them in the 10 levels of the most important. See whether Lo Sachmud makes the top 10. And not just the top 10, but number one of the top 10. It would be number 10, the kill of all the mitzvahs. Emunin Bashem, Shmir Shabbos, Kibravaim, Lo Sietzach, Lo Signoiv, Lo Sinov. Those are kulei mitzvahs, basisis v'yoseh, don't kill, don't steal, kibbut avayim, Shabbos, Shema Yisrael, and understand, those are fundamental. Lo Sachmud's like a, you know, it's not a nice thing to do, but it's not exactly, you know, if you're even Lo Sachmud, you're not exactly an apikairis, you know, it's not exactly the worst behemoth running around town. Ma
kurepo. We see what it can lead to, create in heaven.
Oh, let's see. Oh, good. Lumazais. You put that before Shabbos, you put that before Lo Sietzach. And the answer is, fuck you. Goes a bit deeper. Kashi Adam mitmoided umatzliach la'amud b'nisoynes shel Lo Sachmud. Kusharaya Dharmagish Kihu Kibal Oilam Mali, umachil is koma shuzoket lo bidyuk. When a person recognizes and understands that he's received an entire world, he is an entire world, and in that world he has everything that he needs bidyuk. Zoi hi hayedia shleima hamakifa v'koileles is kol yesadibros. That hagosha, that knowledge, that I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be and I have everything that I need, that surrounds and influences all the other mitzvahs. Oima kamashmois shel hama ne'oyes miratzeach gneiva v'kol sha'aveiros nimdonin fi amida shel hama ne'oynes michemda sa'oylam she'eni shaloi. When you are chaymed, when you want something that's not yours, it doesn't belong to you, what does that lead to? Gneiva, ratzicha, the extent that a person understands lo sirtzach, lo signov, all the other avairas, kina, gaiva, all those things are nimdodim, are measured against how much he understands that he has everything he needs. V'lo chasei klum. To the extent that you feel you're missing things, you're going to want things that aren't yours, so you're going to go after them. If you're focusing on what you don't have, you're always miserable. And if you're focusing on what you do have, you're always happy. So when you're miserable, what happens? Gama mitzvah sheben odom lamokum shekayim tiena mitzvahs bepnimis yosef. The ben odom lamokums also would be much more internal, much deeper. Kakol sheachush ki ani yechidi ba'olami. As long as I understand that I'm unique in my world, ma chavosa ba'olamo, what's my unique tafkid in my unique world? The Bayrailam Nosan Les Kola Koiches Vahatanai Maim Yuchodim Li Vain Betsam Dovashi Maimi Meni Lagir Shlemus. There's nothing standing in my way of achieving Shlemus because Hashem is giving me everything I need in order to achieve my Shlemus. Not his Shlemus and not her Shlemus and my Shlemus.
It's a problem if somebody wants to get tafkid of another one. He will think he needs also the tools for the other one.
Excellent. That's what we spoke about yesterday. You see, even when you're not here, you're here. good. That's exactly what we said. Yeah. Hashem gives everybody a certain algaz kalim, box of tools. And when he looks inside the box of tools, he understands what his job is.
Yes.
And we said yesterday exactly, we said if the plumber wants the electrician's tools, and if you don't have the plumber's tools, your house is going to look a mess. You're going to be flooded and there's going to be no lights and it's going to be terrible. But you first have to recognize you have a new tafkid in the world.
Yes.
If you just want to do whatever you want to do, so you look at his job, it looks nicer, so you want to do his job, so you want his tools. You have to recognize first that you have a unique tafkid in this world to do. Always time it's better to be a plumber than an electrician. Because if a plumber makes a mistake, you just get very wet. An electrician, you make a mistake, it's not so... you can't just dry up. You know? Carpentry, yeah, it invariably leaves you. You know, I don't know too many carpenters that are walking around with 10 fingers. Yeah. No, plumbing definitely is the safest of the... Mitam ze b'siumam shel asara dibros modin Hashem yisborach. Hashem notifies Klal Yisrael after asara dibros like this. Da lecha bni ahoivi, my beloved son, ein shum dover sheyechel limnoya mimcha es kabbalas ha-Torah. There is nothing that can prevent you from your kabbalas ha-Torah. Ves hashlomas tafkidon v'yad boilam. And that can prevent you from reaching your ultimate tafkid and destination in this world. Kola keilim beyodcho. You have everything you need. Hapanosa, hakishreinus, hachinuch, matzovcha, ruchoni v'gashmi. Your panosa, your talents, the chinuch you had, the experience you had, your spiritual situation, your physical situation. Kula matimim bidyuk letafkidon. It's all 100% perfect for what you need to do in this world. That's hard to absorb that. There's a lot of resistance to that statement. כל השאל הריח היינו מסוגל לא להוסיף לו חו מאומה. There's nothing that somebody else has that would help you or mitkadem you one drop. Nothing. מה שיש לך אתה צריך, ומה שאין לך אין צריך. What you have, you need, and what you don't have, you don't need. That just destroyed all the credit cards in the world. This is one of the biggest problems we're suffering from today. The enormous debt we're in today is because we don't believe this. We want things that we don't have because we think we need them. We can't afford it. Why should you be able to afford it? You don't need it. So why would Hashem give you money to buy it? So you buy on credit. You have to go on holiday, but you can't afford it. I know, but I have to go anyway. So we swipe the card. I grew up in a home with my grandparents where if you didn't have the money, you didn't buy it because you didn't need it. There was no such thing as overdraft, credit. He ran his business like that. He never went into overdraft running a business, a retail business. How can you run a retail business without an overdraft? You first have to buy the goods and then sell them and make money. You don't have the money to buy the goods. How do you buy? Nothing. No, there was. You don't take credit. Why not? Not because it's dangerous. Not because because if you needed it, you'd have the money to buy it. You have money, I want to say it more clearly, but you're right, is the money we have is in order to use to fulfill the tafkid that I'm here to fulfill. And if I don't have the money, then obviously I don't need it. Sometimes you do need it, and therefore these things called stock and loans and gemachim, that's what's going on. That's also part of the discernment. But if you can't afford to buy a new car, then don't buy a new car. Vice versa, you don't need a new car. Buying a new car could be the worst thing that could ever happen to a person in Islam. I know a kid who nudged his father to buy one of these fancy sport cars. I don't know what it was even. You know, with these like low flying, you know, like they're usually yellow or red. With like stainless steel exhaust pipes and whatever, you know. And nudged him. Eventually bought it for him, and I watched the guy killing himself on the road. I was driving behind him, he overtook me. I was driving in front of him. He overtook me at a, you know, like, traveling at the speed of light and flipped the car and whatever, and him and his friend were killed in front of my eyes, in South Africa, in front of my eyes. It wasn't so easy sitting with the father explaining to him what I saw. I mean, that was my new story. But I'm just saying, the kid didn't need the car, so you bought him the car. Who says you need it? You feel you need it. Once again, a person has to make cheshbonah. Sometimes in Achinam, you do need it. And then you have to, but you've got to check it out with someone who's objective. Don't make those decisions on your own. Correct. Nachon, sometimes you do need things and whatever, and you don't have the money, and you have to sit down and work out exactly whatever. I'm just saying, you know. It's complex. I'm saying it's a complicated cheshbon, and you're not objective. So there's a lochus about how much you're allowed to spend, how much you're not allowed to spend. Chamishi, more than this, more than that. Of course. That's part of being a mature adult, is knowing how to use the resources in the world that Hashem gave us. Of course. What do you think there's air conditioning in the world for? Of course. No question. Not a question in the world. If you couldn't learn better in the first class compartment than in the economy class compartment, maybe you have to fluff it. I don't know, I'm just saying, there's a complex shilas. It's not just simple one and one is two. Complicated questions. And you have to know, on the one hand, know how to use the world as a resource. Because that's one of the qualities of an adult, is he knows how to use the resources given to him properly. At the same time, understanding that you have everything you need. And then obviously the thing called davening and ishtadlus, to change that thing which you've acknowledged is everything you need, and then you still have to go daven for more. I don't know. Just do that. Very often the problem is not wanting the thing, it's knowing why you want it. If you know why you want it and you're going to use it for what you're supposed to use it for, then yeah, maybe you can. Sometimes you don't need it, but your wife does, or your family does, and then maybe you're going to have to go on and learn. What I'm trying to get across here is it's never simple, and we're never objective, or really objective about these things. Because when we want something, we're really not objective, because we have a vested interest, because we want something. So speak it out with a friend, speak to someone who's objective, that's all. You don't have to go to the God of Adon to do with this one. You can just talk it out with a friend who's more objective than you and get some clarity on the story.
Just be sure he's more objective.
Well, there's no reason why he shouldn't be objective. You want to buy a car, Patli, if you have a car or not. You have a car, you don't have a car, I don't care. So I'm objective. Now I can tell you whether I think you'd be normal or not. You're not objective because the fact that you're asking the question means you already have a vested interest. Nobody who doesn't play chess ever went to ask his Rav Shaila whether it's mutter to play chess on Shabbos. And then usually when I tell that, say somebody else says, what's wrong with playing chess on Shabbos? I don't know. I'm just giving an monopoly, whatever. I'm just saying. Nobody ever asked a Shaila about something that didn't have any interest in. If you're asking a question, if you're thinking about something, there's a pre-existing negir. Otherwise, why are you thinking about it? Rabbi, should I buy a car? Well, do you want to buy a car? No, I never thought about it. It never works like that. You already have a negir, which means you're not objective. You can't be objective. It takes years and years and years and years of training to become objective. There are people that can be objective about themselves. Those are the Gedol Yisrael. That's the most fundamental quality of a Gadol Yisrael, is objectivity. No emotional bias whatsoever. And when he feels he has an emotional bias, he sends his personal shalos to somebody else. The Tzimcha Wasserman Zatzal used to send his personal shalos to Rav Gutzman. Well, he couldn't work it out for himself. On his level, he felt there was a shmeck of negia. That's why you can trust him. No, I'm saying practically, we're discussing an ideal, yeah? And we don't live in ideal, we live in real. And in order to close that gap, we need to be clear about our levels of objectivity. We spoke about it once before as well. If you're trying to work on becoming a Baal Betochen, so one of the things you need to acquire is the mirror of Istapkus, of being able to be satisfied with less. If you always need more and want more, so you're always going to have to make more ishtadlus. You'll always be more disappointed when you don't get it. You're not going to have an easy time working on the topic. So one of the middles you need to acquire is the middle of ishtadlus. So there it becomes very dangerous, because too little is also very dangerous. You know, these guys are living in damp basements and feed the kids onions and whatever, and no one can handle it, and everyone's depressed and falling off the derech. It's also not, you've got to be normal with all of this. You have to know how to juggle that. You know? When do you take your kid for a milkshake, when don't you? When do you take yourself for a milkshake also? We need to know how to live in a real world based on our real as opposed to the ideal. I'll just give an indication of the gap. Rav Dessler Zatzal lived and rented the second floor apartment. And the owner of the building lived downstairs. Dessler rented from him. When the owner of the building died, so the Motcha Miller came to Rav Dessler and said, I've got an amazing idea for you. We can buy the building, rent out the bottom floor. The bottom floor rental will pay for the building, and you can carry on living upstairs without paying rent. Means nothing's changed except you don't pay rent. Now, anybody here would tell me not to do that. Think about it. You're renting in your apartment. Somebody comes and tells you, you can own the apartment that you're renting and not pay it mishkantra rent. Anybody turn down that deal? You afford to pay the apartment. You buy the apartment, the bank gives you a mashkanta, and you don't have to pay anything. It doesn't cost you a penny. Huh? So you pay an agent to rent whatever. I'm just telling you how Ramon Chamela put it to Odessa, that was the deal, okay? On paper, I'm talking about, because that's what the deal was to Odessa. It's a no-brainer. Why do you would do it, right? The Maisa, it's a no-brainer, right? So if this is said, there's no way, so I'm not interested. Why? I don't want to own bricks. I don't want to be mechubah to this world. You understand how far we are from that? You don't even understand what you're talking about. If you would go ask a shayla and tell you, you have to do it. Could be as a chiv to do it. But this just, well, he's told me. I don't want to own bricks. I don't want to be mechubah to this world. We don't understand. If you think you understand
that, how do I get to that level?
We're starting. How do you get to that level?
Yeah,
first, I'll tell you how you get there. The theory is easy. You determine that that's your goal. That's where you're supposed to get to. That's your ideal. You do a hardcore, difficult analysis of where you really are in relation to that, and then you start taking one small step at a time. in that direction, and every take one step direction, you sit down and you celebrate. That's how you get there. Will you get there or not? I don't know, but you'll have lived a valuable life trying. Not doing that, okay, could be that you wasted your whole life here. If that's your goal, if that's where you're supposed to get to. That has to be determined. Am I supposed to be on that level? Don't know. Makeres Makoyme means I need to recognize what my unique tafkid in the world is. What do I want written on my tombstone? I don't know if I want written on my tombstone what Rav Dessler had written on his tombstone. Because that's not me. I'm not him. With who? No, you can't. And I'll tell you why. Because it had nothing to do with a subjective decision, an objective decision. It was his unique avoider. Rav Safra, let's go back. I'm glad you raised that. It's good to do chazara. Remember Rav Safra from the breakfast here the other day? Rav Safra was sitting in the shuk. It's very important, this. You've raised it, and therefore I'm gonna go here. Rav Safra, I said this over in the breakfast here a few weeks ago. Rav Safra was sitting in the shuk, selling things in the shuk. He was in the middle of saying Kriya Shema, and a guy came up to him, wanted to buy something, and offered him 50 zuz. Rav Safra was saying Kriya Shema, so he couldn't answer, so he didn't answer. The guy thought that he was not offering enough, so he offered 100, and Rav Safra was still saying Kriya Shema. He didn't say anything, so the guy offered 150. Silence. Until the guy eventually offered 200, Rav Safra finished saying Kriya Shema and said, you can have it for 50. Because when you offered me 50, I was going to believe me to give it to you at 50, and if I take more from you now, only I am MS Bilvavi. I'm not speaking truth in my heart. Now, Api Alocha, every aspect of Alocha, Chassidus, Musa, Tzidkus, whatever you want, it was 100% mutter for him to take 200 zuz. There was nothing wrong whatsoever with taking 200 zuz. But Rav Safra had a thing called Eini Oime Ela Emes Bilvavi. I only speak the truth in my heart. And therefore Rav Safra wouldn't take the 200 and he gave him for 50. Now, let's assume for a minute that Rav Safra had taken the 200, got on that night and been very upset with himself, and wrote in his diary, today I stole 150 zuz from a goy. Yeah?
Which isn't true.
It is true. It's 100% true. But you're not allowed to say it. Kol ha'oime David choyte eino ele toy. Whoever says David HaMelech did a sin is only making a mistake. So Tanakh's making a mistake, because the Tanakh says he sinned. Kol ha'oime Reuven eino choyte eino ele toy. Whoever says Reuven did an aveira is making a mistake. Chumash is making a mistake. Chumash says he was the first of the Bali Tshuva. Who was he doing Tshuva for? For something he never did wrong? Why did David HaMelech do Tshuva? He didn't do anything wrong. Eino ele toy. What's the vote? The vote is, you have to know what language we're speaking here. When Rav Safra writes in his diary, I stole, is Rav Safra allowed to say I stole? Yeah, because Rav Safra has a hanaga, I only speak truth in my heart. Are you allowed to say he stole? No, because he didn't steal, he didn't do anything wrong. David HaMelech did something wrong? Yeah, but you're not allowed to say it, because you don't understand the language of what a chet is. What you think a chet is and what the Torah thinks a chet is, we don't have the kelim to understand. You're not allowed to say, Kol ha'oime David choyta eino ele toy, is making a mistake. Why does it teach it like that? Just say, David lo choto. That's how Chazal should say it, no? Why does Chazal say, Kol mi she'oime eino ele toy? Just say, David never sinned. No, because he did. He did. How do we know? Because he himself said it. He spent his whole life doing tshuva for that sin. Reuven was the first of the Balei Tshuva. But you on your level don't understand what happened there, so you're not allowed to say he sinned. You're not allowed to say Rav Safra is a Ganav. But he is. Rav Dessler is allowed to say, I want to have nothing to do with this world, and if I'm not buying a dira, and I'm not interested. Am I allowed to say it? Could be for me, it's also to even do that. Could be I have a chiv to do it. How are you going to marry if you're Kurnan? How are you going to do this? How are you going to... Could be, that's what I'm saying. You have to... We never know, they have to ask questions. You have to ask questions. It could be 20 years earlier Rav Dessler might have said, yeah, for sure, I'll take it. It could be at that stage of his life he'd already got to a place where he didn't want to go. It's ma'od mesubach. Ma'od mesubach. I don't know if Rav Dessler would have taken it. Rav Dessler had another klal which came out quite often in his life, is that Torah lo nitna elish oich lemon. Torah was only given to people that ate mon.
What does it mean, Iman? It means you don't know where your panos is coming from tomorrow. It means if you know where your panos is coming from tomorrow, the Torah you're learning today is not called Torah. Rav Dessler had an anhaga for himself like that as well. Therefore, Rav Dessler never wanted to know where his panos was coming from. So I don't know if Rav Dessler would have taken that either. Once again, what about me? What's the question? Of course I have to do it. Charlotte, a million years. Because they're lo abayasheli. That's exactly what we say. Each person has a unique tafkid, a unique avoida, and we have unique times in our life. My avoida yesterday may not be what's necessary today. What was an avoida yesterday could be a mitzvah tomorrow. Life doesn't stand still. So first you have to recognize Makiris Makoimi. I'm unique. I have a unique tafkid in this world, therefore I have unique matzovim. You know, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would never let his tshuvas be published. I'm not saying you can't have your tshuvas published. Moshe published his tshuvas. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky would never let his tshuvas be published. You know why? He said a tshuva gave him is not relevant to him. They asked the same question. So what? They're not the same people. The situation is different. You know how many examples there are of psak halacha that were given to two people that asked exactly the same question but different psakim? I mean, a kotzer la kotzer? So you have to be very careful. Not simple, I'm just saying. You have to know. I once said that we were, and I should tell you, there was a young couple, Balchuva couple, whatever, a complex Nidushan. And then they went off to the Rav and they came back with a psak. And I remember all the week, Imamish hit the nail on the head. He said it's 100% correct and 1,000 times inappropriate. The psak. Which means with the one eye that was on Shulchan Aruch, he got it 100% right. But on the one eye that was on the couple who he was paskining for, he got it 100% wrong. The Vilna Gaon says you need two eyes to be a poisek. One that's on the Shulchan and one who's the person standing across from you, asking the Shala. The psak was 100% correct and 1,000 times inappropriate. Do we understand even that statement? How could it be? Yeah, because the Torah is a living dynamic. It's not a, you know, one and one is two paint by numbers. It's very real and alive and living. And that's why we still have Torah today, 3,500 years later, when things have changed a little bit. And as they change, the Torah is able to come up without changing anything in the Torah. The Torah is able to come up with solutions and responses to new events. I once saw a sefer this thick on Hilchas microwave ovens. They're a pillar. I never opened it. I'm too scared to open things like that. No, I'm just, you understand? The Torah always had responses to every possible situation. Without one principle in the Torah ever being challenged or changed. We don't change the Torah. The Torah is alive, it adapts. And therefore, we have to also be able to live like that. So therefore, the situations keep changing, and the psak you got yesterday may not be relevant today, and we have to be dynamic, and we have to keep analyzing and looking where we're going. But you have to be real, and you have to be normal. Rabbi Grossman's told me his father, who was my Rebbe, was very makpid on Pesach. He ate nothing other than meat, potatoes, wine, and matzah. That was it. So I asked him, what was it like growing up in a home like that? He said, we didn't notice. There was nothing lacking in that house on Pesach. There was everything. And the fact that he didn't eat it, we didn't even notice that he wasn't eating. It wasn't done like as a, you know, like, I'm going to be machmir.
Everyone else had it.
Yeah, he said they never lacked. There was everything in the house. We never had a kosher Pesach stamp on, you know, there was chocolate. There was nothing. He said, we didn't even notice him doing anything strange. It wasn't like, you know, I have to be machme on person. It's just not that. That's a voida.
It's like the example you gave of the mon. Yeah, they said that the tzaddikim, it could taste whatever they wanted, but people who complained, it didn't. And it's interesting that the matriarch of the Mephuspas is 248, which is a remes that all the limbs of the body absorbed what it needed to from the body. So people on that level...
Very good. That's so nice.
Man is described as a Mephuspas is 248.
The real answer to how you get there, what I said was correct. But in a voida, you have to start learning. You have to start learning.
Right.
Take it a chaybis of avashara betokhtar. Stop learning. There's a kedusha that changes you. even if you don't understand the safer.
I was probably making more of a joke.
What?
That how do I get to the level that I don't want to have